You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Boardwalk Empire. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Boardwalk Empire news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Boardwalk Empire.
Hey, everybody. Happy Sunday evening. It is Tamara Berg here with Bethany Graber, Kevin Undergaro. Did I get that wrong or something?
It's okay.
Bethany Gaber.
It's Jaber.
Bethany Gaber.
Jaber.
Yeah, Jaber. Jaber. Jaber.
I've actually never heard anybody say your last name before.
I
always mark
it
and go, Bethany Gaber.
I thought it was Graber.
No, it's not like people walk around calling each other by their first and last name. It's not really common. So it's okay. Don't worry.
Say it again.
You would not be
Jaber.
The first.
Jaber.
Yeah, Jaber.
Jaber.
Yeah.
Jaber. Yeah. Not Jaber.
You could say Jaber if you really wanted to, but it's Jaber.
Jaber. Okay, Bethany.
Thank you.
And DJ Jesse Janity in the booth. So Boardwalk Empire, episode 8, season 2, Two Boats on a Lifeguard. But you think, Bethany, that it should be named?
I think it should be called Who's Your Daddy?
You like that better?
Yeah, I like it better because I think it addresses each man and his role as a father.
And there was a lot of the dad stuff going on for sure tonight.
Yeah, because Nicky kind of like grew up a little bit and decided to be a dad. And I think they examined the rest of the men too. So
yeah. Two Boats and a Lifeguard
is poetic, but it really should be called Who's Your Daddy?
I like it. I think that's very clever. So we started off the episode. We'll get to Nucky, but I want to talk a little bit about Jimmy, and because there was a lot going on with him tonight in this episode, with him sort of coming of age as well, or you know, even more.
Can we clarify last week, Tam? You and I were wondering his last line to Nucky before he was shot was. Mm-hmm.
Just
Bethany, what was the line?
I actually remember the line before that. It was he like walked up to him in that like dark black suit.
Yeah.
And before he said
something like, you have to choose or make a decision.
You just have to make a decision.
And we were unsure what it meant and if maybe he knew Nucky wasn't going to be shot or whatever. And you really clarified it for us.
Well, I think it goes back to season one in which he... At the end of that season, he was saying to him, you have to choose. You can't be half a gangster.
Right, right.
And so in this episode, he kind of does.
And it's this is why the writing is so brilliant, because I'm sure when he says, it's cut my drinking in half, it's a tie back to that. And in so many other ways. But thank you for clarifying that. We were wondering last week what that was.
Welcome.
You can't be half a gangster, and you know it's his last words to him.
Yeah,
like in other words, I told you so.
Yep.
And now you're gonna die. So, but anyway, we'll talk about Jimmy. But I wanted to clarify that for the listeners.
Yeah, yeah. So, but we were talking about Jimmy and the fact that again, you know, the dark suit is really present in all of this, but he has the issue with I can't remember who it is that comes in and tweaks him on the cheek. Was that the butcher?
Yes, that's
the butcher who came in, whose name
that's
we cannot
our
remember.
Jewish butcher.
Manny.
Manny, yeah. But I can't remember his last name. Well, he's got some unpronounceable last name or complicatedly pronounceable last name. So, you know, Jimmy going, well, you keep treating me like a child. You keep insisting I'm a child. You got to understand I'm a man. And then, you know, by the end of the episode, Jimmy throws his buddy over the rail, showing what a man he is to that guy. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. I mean, it's I'm trying to find the words for it because it's just he Manny comes and he challenges him a little bit. He keeps bugging him about the $5,000, which you know is a lot of money, but it's not that much money.
Not in their world.
Not in their world. And Manny also has this beautiful monologue about hunting and butchers and venison.
That? Yes. And
I tell you, it's amazing because it speaks so much to Jewish pragmatism and I think their culture, you know, how it's like, no, this is business, but we're not wasteful.
Mm-hmm.
And how, unfortunately, and I can say as someone who is Irish and Italian, like the Irish and Italians back then, they were crazy. You know, I mean, they still are. And again, not stereotyping all of them, but a lot of the mobsters, they lost their head. They would do crazy things. Whereas the smarter ones, Jewish, Irish, Italian, black, or otherwise, were the ones who just kept a cool head and was all about just business.
Right.
And so we see this in Rothstein, which I love, and we'll talk about him later. Mm-hmm. But we see it with the butcher, where all we've seen from the beginning is he seems like this very mean butcher, like a madman.
Right.
Like,
that just is going to
chop
does.
Everyone apart. But now it's this, look at you, this is what you crazy wasps do, is you just, or you crazy white people, you just go out and just shoot animals to have trophies, to be big shots. You know, wearing your big tacky suits and with all your women all over you and just all that. Whereas for him, it's business.
It's almost as if his ego is out of the equation, which I don't believe that is true for anyone ever.
Most of the gangsters weren't, but the better ones, it was.
They're able to see it as a business. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And he goes through this gorgeous monologue, and I think it hits home for Jimmy because he says, you didn't pull the trigger yourself. I mean, that's basically what he says.
Right.
You sent somebody else to do your father's bidding. And so I think that's what causes him to throw him over the rail, to be like, what you, and he does it in such a public way. I mean, he could do it in a private setting, but he chooses to really shame him publicly, which is so dangerous.
He was just, you know, Jimmy has just, he keeps evolving into this gangster role.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you. And so what butcher Manny really preyed on his insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Oh, you're a boy," and it basically goes back to what the mother had said to him.
Yes.
Remember, the mother was like, "No, you have to go get tough," and they kill that guy and they scalp him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is basically the same kind of reaction. Like, okay, you want to see what a boy I am, and hurls the guy right over.
Yeah,
and
I'll show you.
You know, which is interesting because that guy Manny doesn't look like a guy that you play around with. He's a bear.
No,
but Jimmy, you know, shows him. You want to see how strong I am? I'll show you how strong I am. And so it's just very interesting.
But he's almost, by throwing him over the rail, he's acting immaturely.
And emotionally.
Impulsive,
maybe. Or maybe, I don't know. None of us would know how to behave in that world. But, you know, we have like the mother who's giving him the advice, you have to strike back hard. You know, maybe it is a way to communicate with him. To say, wait, well, because when Doyle says to him, hey, listen, don't be saying that Jew stuff. Basically, Doyle's like saying, no, that down there, he's the boss. He's the scary one. And Jimmy's basically saying, oh, no, didn't you just see the brass ring's now mine?
Yeah.
I'm the scary one. I'm a full gangster. I run the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, it was emotional, but maybe not.
Maybe not.
It may be the statement that he needed to make.
Well, the other thing that I was seeing was in this progression of Jimmy this episode was, you know, he's talking on the phone to whoever it was and said, you know, about the fact that Nucky didn't get killed. And his wife overhears the fact that her husband ordered the hit on Nucky. And so sort of the cat's out of the bag. I mean, she knew he was a rum runner and she knew he did bad things, but now she really knows what he's doing and she goes off on a whole.
It's just amazing. And again, speaks to that when they talk about, onions
artichokes.
I'm an artichoke, but the bottom line is all these characters have so many great layers. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, you see him fully committed to being a hardcore gangster.
Yeah.
By throwing Doyle over the thing, and I actually think it was a good move to show the butcher. Who's boss, and because I know with the mobsters, one of the big things is don't ever come around us saying we owe you money. It's a big thing, and the you know you've seen it in Hollywood's version of The Godfather and the Goodfellas movies or whatever. But I knew it to be true too. You don't, and now he keeps about the fight. You know, the next thing is he's going to get killed just for asking for the money, and that's just kind of how it goes. Mm-hmm. So finishing that point and going over to the wife. So he, even though he's full time gangster, it's very interesting that they have this exchange where she calls him out. Why did we even get? You know, he says, "Why did we get married?" And she said, "Because we had a baby and."
And you pushed me.
Yeah, because we had to, because that's what society said. But really, it's not what I wanted to do. And you don't talk to me anyhow. Yeah. And then he tells her everything. He's completely honest with her.
I love that. Mm-hmm. It was one of my favorite scenes tonight.
Mm-hmm. That he went off to her.
Because there are a couple of couples in this series that have been staying together. And I love it when they're actually really honest with each other because it reminds us why they're together.
And again, that he's so layered that that's why he's a very cool character.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's very uncharacteristic of the time and the situation is, you know, these couple, well, not only couples, because, you know, it was the man is in business and
that's
the woman keeps the home,
especially
right?
In
and
the
they're
mob
very
thing
separate.
Too, it was
and
always,
in the mob, even more so, you yeah, never tell
never
them
ask
what's
questions.
Going on.
Yeah, nope.
So it's really, I think it's really an interesting take here on this show to show it that way.
And I think Angela, Jimmy's wife, has a lot to compete with dealing with Jimmy's mother.
Well, Jimmy and Jimmy, we know that. We talk about it every week.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. She said, "What changed your mind about killing Nucky?"
Yes.
He said, "My mother changed my mind." And I think that's the first crack in her in the mom's foundation.
Absolutely.
Because in what way?
In the way that he's kind of looking out into space saying, you know what? Maybe it's Lady Macbeth. You know, maybe she's this just master manipulator who really isn't giving me the best advice
maybe
at the end of the day.
Maybe I'm doing things I don't necessarily... I think it's this is for me the first time in the series where Jimmy has acted on inauthentically or done something that he really didn't want to do.
Yes.
It's like, I mean...
With the ordering on the head of Nucky. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's this crack in the foundation that you're saying here that is going to separate him from his mother just a little bit because he's like, whoa, I'm acting not authentically. I think it like where most people, when they don't act authentically, it's like it hurts them a little bit. I think for Jimmy, it's like it's a dagger. It's a dagger to his soul.
And when this went down, I wrote down, who's the half gangster now?
You
know, because you know what? He should
roles.
Be a parallel to Nucky because Nucky really was the father to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really the one in Nucky's image. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see. We see the similarities between the both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if we were to go back to episode one, it would be as if they have switched roles.
Yes.
Because Jimmy...
Nucky and Jimmy.
Yes, mm-hmm. Because Jimmy would be the one with the family and just like home trying to kind of figure things out a little bit and Nucky was the gangster at the time, and so it's complete opposites.
Yes, indeed. Now what did you guys make of Jimmy's speech in the end where he had his court around him?
Thank you.
And
that pretty face
there
is.
You go.
See, now we can see you
and hear you. Jimmy's speech where he has his court around him, you know, sort of surrounds them. You were feeling something coming on. I heard you reacting to his.
You never want to watch anything with me because I'm a movie talker.
No, like, but we love that. That's AfterBuzz. But that's AfterBuzz because you're so excited and you just want to start commenting at the screen.
My sister and my husband are like, shh.
No,
and I'm like,
that's
no,
all right.
This is. I'm like, don't do it.
So tell us. What
were you reacting to? What was that?
When he was giving his speech, what was it that I was reacting to? I mean, they were doing this kind of like lovely circular pan.
Yeah, I loved that. I thought that was beautiful.
Where they were kind of coming. The camera felt like it was coming under, so it was giving him so much power.
Yep.
And he was. But yet, at the same time, he wasn't saying anything profound. Do you know what I mean? He was like, this is my era. This is what's happening. This is what's new. But you could tell, like, deep inside that maybe he didn't feel that this was
he
true.
He seemed very unsure of himself.
Yes.
You know,
sort of psyching himself up.
Yeah.
He's very white, like a lot of this episode, wobbling around. Mm-hmm. Did you notice? Just almost zombie-like. Like, he didn't know quite what to do. But when he got his moment, he basically said, you know, Rocky kind of hogged all the pie to himself, but we're going to spread it out.
Yeah.
So right. he did at least get that out. But that's I agree true. With you that he wasn't, he was very unsure of himself. Yeah. I also enjoyed seeing his moment with Richard.
Oh, yes. And we're going to get your mask redone, and we're going to get you a girl.
Your face
and
fixed,
that.
And we're going to get you a good life. And it's just great because Richard's like, congratulations. In other words, like, his life is, Richard's life is still the same.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about it as much, you know, but.
But sorry to jump back that, but just to speak to, like, a lot of the times I feel like the camera lets the writing speak for itself. So I thought when something poetic happens, usually somebody's talking and the camera will come in a little bit. But this time I felt like it was moving so much and he was saying nothing. Do you know what I mean?
I tend to agree with you. I do. I agree. He was like, all right, you want me to say something? I'll say something. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Sorry. I just find it ironic that, like, there's, like, so much movement happening when nothing's being spoken. And poor Harrow. I have to say, sorry, sidebar, I went to an amazing Halloween party and somebody was him for Halloween. And it was Harrow.
Oh, okay.
And it was I should have taken a picture of it because I actually thought it was him to the point where I was like, this is embarrassing. Like, I shouldn't say hi to you. That's weird. You're a character in a series. You're not actually a real person. Sorry.
That's funny. Okay, so let's move on to Van Alden. So, he there wasn't a lot of him tonight, but we did see some very key things happening mm-hmm. with him. He hired a nanny from Scandinavia, thinking.
Just wanted
right?
to work every you know, single day.
Every yeah. single day. Okay, I'll give you half of a single Sunday and a month off.
right. Thank you so much.
And yeah, exactly. And then, you know, went off to go do his thing. We see him at the boardwalk having lunch with one
yeah,
of his coworkers.
I want you guys
right?
to explain that to me. So police eat for free. He's like, we're a state. We don't take that. And
right.
the waiter walks away, or the cook, and he's left with his fellow agent, his junior agent.
Yeah.
New junior agent.
right.
And who, well, it was we've seen him and the other guy.
Yeah.
Who got burned from the beginning of the season. And who obviously has been having the free lunches. And so then they have an interaction about it, and he talks about...
the morality of it, basically, right? And how this is the wrong thing to do, and you shouldn't, and
you shouldn't
we shouldn't, and you shouldn't, and we shouldn't, none of us should.
And the agent responded, said, can I speak
openly and freely?
He said, yes, please do, even though he cut him off.
Yeah.
But what did he say, the agent?
The agent the first time?
When he said, can I speak freely?
Oh,
you know,
oh okay. When
basically, he said,
freely.
I think what we're doing, it's, you know, we're sort of working against a very difficult tide. It's, you know, I'm feeling like we're a bit ineffectual.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I remember that when I first got here, I was so inspired and I'm not so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like Agent Van Alden, out of every character in this series has changed the most, has had the biggest character arc as far as like what he believes in and
right.
what he's choosing to do. And I think he agrees with him in that moment. I think he's like, huh, you know what?
He crumples up the bill.
You're totally right, dude. Totally right.
Oh, so, right. Yeah. But is he changing or was he testing him?
I don't know.
You know,
that's a great question.
But he does go home with... money,
a big old bucket
that
of money
he sticks behind a mm-hmm. A picture.
Mirror.
So clearly, he's doing mm-hmm. you know he's doing something illegal. I would mm-hmm. think to you know mm-hmm. taking some kind of payoffs. But I wonder why is it to give to his wife or does he need that to support the baby?
I don't think he's giving it to his wife. I don't think his wife's.
Oh well, he is at the plan. I mean, I wonder why.
I think we should stalk.
He's not a greedy guy.
Stalk the writers
and find out.
Track them down and be like, "Hey, what is Van Alden doing with this money?" Because I just it's like a loose end right now.
Yeah,
it was interesting too. His kiss to the baby.
Yeah.
You know, just so uncomfortable. But he did. I was surprised he actually kissed the baby, but he did it.
He's
Baby He's, Abigail.
He finally named her. Is that did mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, he is a father. He might not be the best father, but he's
providing.
He's providing. in a time when, you know, affection and therapy was not abundant.
No.
So he's doing the best he can.
Well, and, you know, he's about to lose his all of his power in a certain way because of the fact that he reported to the attorney general or the prosecuting attorney, I have this entire file on Nucky. I've been, you know, creating all of this backlog of information, and Nucky's about to step down. So he's sort of, you know, about to, I don't think he knows it yet, yeah. But he's, you know, he's potentially about to lose his power. So I think that could potentially change a lot of what's going on in his world.
It speaks so much to the time that we're living in now, in which, you know, I mean, he might not necessarily believe in prohibition, but he has a job because of it.
Right.
Like with so many of our politicians, right. They don't necessarily agree with banning gay marriage, but it's their platform. And so it's something that they have to run on.
Right.
Because otherwise, how would they be a politician yeah. and have a job? And it's just it's just the irony of like what you believe in and what you actually do. Very much like there was that. It was another one of my favorite moments where it was probably about a good like 35 minutes into it. And there was the two-faced man
the
and
man,
lady.
The man, woman, uh-huh.
Again, halves. It goes yep. back to that half a gangster, like mm-hmm. all through it. I'm an onion, I'm an artichoke. I'm as a writer myself, I'm just astounded that how much goes into this. Mm-hmm. And again, production design too. How much goes into the? I mean, again, we just saw some great sets, and I know I say this every week, but I'm like, man, I can't believe they justify this expense. HBO
right.
does.
I'm so you know, glad for that 2.6 they do. Million thank you, people HBO, a week. For doing it.
I know, but it's amazing that we're getting this much product. I love to know how they make that work. Where network shows will get even the kind of mediocre ones will get 8 or 9 million. And the yeah. better ones get up to 20 million and aren't spending this much money, some
right.
of them. So it's crazy to me, but I'm so grateful.
Oh, absolutely.
But the writing is just, you know, God, it's just so rich and so layered.
I wonder, I would love to speak with some of the writers because I'm wondering what, like, historical process they go through. I mean, there has to be, like, certain reading requirements and, like, so you're all, like, historically, like, caught up on the same page.
Sure.
And I want to get that. Syllabi.
The Bible.
So then we can all read it.
Yeah, they will know. Then we'll be in on it.
Exactly. Then we'll be in on it. So I think, can we move on to Jimmy now? I mean, Nicky, rather?
Oh, hell yeah.
Because we've got a lot to cover with him. So opening and closing with him having a dream / hallucination mm-hmm. that was very odd, you know, the baseball mitt, the kid shooting him.
The deer with the
big wound.
Great symbolism with the deer, you know, as the, as man. Danny had talked about the deer, and then we hear about you know the horse ooh. Later. You know, there's very interesting, but yeah, very symbolic. All these
right, and then when he comes out of it, I'm sorry to interrupt, but when Nucky comes out of it, the doctor is wrapping his hand, and he goes, "Oh, stigmata," you know.
yeah.
Oh, my. So talking to the doctor about taking away his alcohol license, and I just mentioned that because I think that's going to come up in an episode coming down the road. I read a little bit somewhere about that. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, he's basically sitting and waiting for the state's attorney to come after him and start the process of, you know, not vixen, but this shark sort of state's attorney who, by the way, I found some information out on her. The actress mm-hmm. who plays Esther, what's her last name? Reynolds? Or I get it wrong every
she's
time.
Lovely.
It's either Reynolds or she's what?
She's lovely.
Oh, yeah. Her name's Julianne Nicholson, and she was actually in, I recognized her from Law & Order Criminal Intent.
Oh.
She was on for, I think, a couple of seasons, and I just, it was bugging me last week, and I was trying to figure out who she was. Mm-hmm. And because, of course, she looks so different in
yes.
this than she does in current day casting things. Anyway, she was a model in Paris. That's how she started out her career. And she was born and raised in Medford, Massachusetts.
No way. What's her name?
No kidding.
What's her name?
Julianne Nicholson.
Hmm.
So there you go.
Interesting,
mm-hmm. Tamara. The minute I saw that, I couldn't wait to tell you, but I did wait for an entire week.
Born in 71, so she's
Sure she loves that on there.
She's a great actress.
Can't avoid it anymore.
She doesn't have to worry.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Oh, wow. All right, we'll have to... We'll have to get in touch with her.
Yeah, I thought you might find that very interesting because that's where you're
from. It's funny to see she's that area. I'm older than her, and then Maria's a lot younger. So it's like right in the middle. Oh, Miss Nicholson, we will talk.
Yes.
That's very interesting. You know, it's great to see the women on this show. How strong the women are, how layered.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably should just briefly touch on, we left out talking about
Angie,
yeah, and her new
and
lesbian
new
foray,
Louise,
and this hippie chick,
yes,
from San Francisco,
yeah.
Which, does anyone here have any idea? Was San Francisco already known as a kind of a hippie hotbed back then?
Not in the '20s.
Just a complete coincidence.
It's
their way of just going, you know.
This is what
wink,
we're
wink.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it wasn't a place for.
I mean, it was, you know, the Barbary Coast. It was definitely a sort of soulless place, but it wasn't. It definitely wasn't, you know, a gay hub yet.
It was just maybe an artist.
But it was
place.
Yeah, I would say probably artists.
So I know in the '50s had the beatniks,
uh-huh, mm-hmm,
the '60s had the hippies. Uh-huh. In the '20s, were there like
flappers?
Flappers.
Well, I thought the flappers were just partiers. Did the flappers stand for anything?
Who
were the artists of the time that, like, was there any kind of name for them? I'm just wondering because it's just so interesting. It looked like an episode of Mad Men in the 60s, you know, when you see the one character who, the young female who goes off and goes into different parties with all the hippies, you know, mm-hmm, like
it's true, yeah,
against the
she
backdrop
of all of that
of Camelot, you know,
right?
And I love seeing it here, you know.
Yeah.
I love seeing, you know,
sort
all
of
these
the
free spirits and artists,
the counterculture,
yes,
mm-hmm, rebel sort
very
of
very cool.
Character.
I'd love to know how much of that exists. I'm sure it did because some of the arts that came out in the '20s, you know, the real art, not the pop art, but the
fine artists.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's just interesting.
No, I mean, they exist. There's always someone somewhere. There's always some artist community. I think we just have to like do some research and find out where the heck they're hanging out.
I love the similarities to today. Well, it seems like she's found her special someone.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm sure we'll see more of it as these weeks go on.
I hope so. It's one of those things, though, on the show that's kind of it's a little unnerving that someone could be a central character like this Julianne Esther's character,
mm-hmm,
in the show. Big, important role last week. And this week, very, you know, C-level as far as how many times we talked to her and how often she was in the episode. Mm-hmm. And I want to see her again. So I'm hoping that she'll show up again. Although Nucky's stepping down. You know,
we still have a trial to get through.
Yeah, we definitely do.
Yeah.
But, you know, the stakes are changed, I mm-hmm think, in this. So it's one of those things about the series that you kind of don't know who might get killed off at any moment and who mm might, you know, whose arc might change dramatically.
Oh, let me ask you this. You know, I'm a big fan of Howard Stern, as you know, and he has a show called Geek Time.
Okay.
That comes on once a week. And Geek Time always has like a recap of all the geeky TV shows. And they were bothered last week by the Irish killing, the Slater killing the guy. And they felt, because they felt like, no, get me back to Nucky and the mob stuff. And I'm always outspoken about how Dexter forces some of the B characters to have their own stories. And they just annoy me because I only like stories either about Dexter or things that support Dexter, like Colin Hanks right now, mm-hmm, and Ever Jane almost are great, even though they're away from Dexter, but they support his story. So do you guys feel as though seeing Angela and her love interest in this weird world, does that take you out at all?
It takes me out a little bit only because we've done this storyline before. Like we did this last season.
Right.
She had the
photographer's wife.
You know, but you know, it's like then I feel silly being like, well then she's a lesbian and she likes women, so of course she's gonna have relationships.
Right, she's
got
another relationship. I just think they've gotta bring it back to how that it affects Jimmy.
One of the challenges that I have while we're watching this show and we're always supporting each other while we're watching. Who's that guy? What's his name again?
Mm-hmm.
There are so many characters in this show, and it's one of the things that's hard for me personally because I'm kind of a passive viewer when I watch shows. I want Not that I want every word spoken out to me and every, you know, storyline told to me, but if you're not going to give me some hints and advice here and there, it can be hard to follow. And so I love watching the characters develop, and I do enjoy seeing some things happen with the external characters, but they need to be connected to our mains. Right. And that's really important for me.
I absolutely agree with that. Yeah. And the other thing, like, I think I don't mind seeing the smaller, like, C&D storyline lines weave in. Those
right.
don't bother me so much. What bothers me is when there's no reversal, when there's no change of fortunes. And Angela's character hasn't really she's just so placid all the time.
Yeah.
Like there's
I'd be patient.
Yeah, I mean
no,
it'll
move.
She's been so two-dimensional for me.
Well, we didn't need her really.
No.
So it was good. I think it was good that she just kind of stayed in her little prison raising the baby because it needed to be about the mother and Jimmy. So I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
As long as it's not too much. I still liked it. Didn't bother me because I'll tell you, the Slater killing kind of did because, like, yeah, God, more stuff mm-hmm. I'm not going to understand. But I did.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind seeing it. It was nice to see another perspective, but maybe Slater will bring us back to Nucky.
Well, right. But except in the end, I think it was the very last scene was between Slater and Nucky. Mm-hmm. We have to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And we think it's all about Nucky. About Owen sleeping with Margaret.
Slater
and Nucky knows.
Well, right.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, your friend from Ireland. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Irish friend.
And,
you know, you need to set up a meeting. We need to. So it's going to come back. And I happen to know that next week's episode, Nucky's going to be in Ireland.
Right. And so talking about Nucky, he looks at the board. They're playing the game. And he sees the ship.
Oh, yeah.
And so clearly he wants to. Let's fly the coop. I got a good thing going.
Yep.
And let's go to Ireland. Let's go to the homeland and just be a family man.
Uh-huh.
And it seemed like when, you know, in that moment, he tells the boy, you can call me dad. And, you know, off he's going to go. So we think.
Right.
Right.
Off he's going to go and have the lovely life, except that then he's talking to Owen about, you know, what's going on in Ireland with the IRA. I think we need to chat about it. So,
well, I think what he's I think what it'll be is to get safe passage over there.
Oh, you do?
I think so. And to set up a new life. I think there's this fantasy in his brain as he's going to go and live in Ireland and retire. You know, Whitey Bulger, that was what everyone had alleged about him is he went back to Ireland. Hmm. You know, so it's you hear that all the time. The Italians too. Well, yeah, I know actually Lucky Luciano's last years were spent in Sicily.
Uh-huh. Yes.
He left. He was forced out. But he went back. You know, mm-hmm. they all say they're going to go home. They're going to go home.
So the proposition that Nucky said is just, I'm going to give you a bunch of money to get me safely to Ireland
so I can
live my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
And I think with those
guns.
You know, you might be right because of the guns.
Exactly. It was the guns and the fact that they keep laying in this thing about the IRA.
So
the IRA. It's been under lots of episodes. So I think there's something
and
more.
You know, it's very
that may
cool.
be Nucky's intention, but I don't think it's absolutely.
You might listen.
Yeah.
Eli warned Jimmy.
Yeah.
Said, my brother
is smarter than you.
Is smarter than you.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it feels like so Nucky, and again, to take the advice of Rothstein, another like this amazing practical Jewish businessman,
yeah.
who says, no, sit back. Let's not do anything. And I love the meeting I know we're jumping around a lot, but I love the meeting between the old guard, which was Nucky, Rothstein, and the real life gangster who used to be Capone's boss, Jimmy, whatever his name is.
That's my favorite line. Of this episode was, looks like the pups have
grown
fangs, boys.
And but Rothstein is such an amazing businessman, and sometimes I don't bet at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see a good bet,
I bet at all.
It's just amazing. And again, just that's a great businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you know, with my just fine middle class upbringing. You know, we don't think like that.
No.
We just think like,
I just gotta cover my bills.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just gotta make my nut.
I gotta keep working. Gotta keep working. Gotta keep active. But I love just the veterans, the real smart ones. They just sit back.
Yeah.
And they just wait. And so he tells him, let's just sit back.
I feel better now that you're saying this.
What? About your own life?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, please.
No, I was having a little bit of an episode today because I'm not going forward with another role, so I was getting cranky with it. And my reps were saying exactly what you're saying now. Bethany, just sit back, relax.
You
it's
have
fine.
To.
Just be chill. But I'm like a little puppy, and I'm like, ah, no, this is the one.
Oh, yeah,
star.
No. We hear it all the time.
Sit if, back,
you know,
relax.
Maria's reps always will tell us, you know, the, yeah. And they rep Ellen, they rep, and they'd mm-hmm. say, listen, just... You can't will yeah. this stuff. It'll come. Just relax.
But I'm like,
just,
I'm like a monkey in a cage right now, holding on, shaking
yeah.
it.
Of course. But again, the veterans yeah. of the world that just, I mean, the yes. the teams, the experienced businessmen, and the more I'm around them, and I'm very blessed to be around even billionaires that I'll go to dinner with, and I'll kind of study them. And it's they're so relaxed about their decisions.
About. He's talking about me.
He's talking about Tammy.
Yeah,
that's true.
But I love seeing it, and I you know Rothstein is so
and that wisdom of patience, sort of. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just again, where you're like a middle class person is all stressed, and I gotta, and they're so relaxed. And he says, so wouldn't it be interesting if Nucky were taking that advice to another level to say, not only am I sit back, let me roll over. Let me make them think
I know.
That I'm dead and let them celebrate and be happy so I can make my comeback. Do you guys want to take a call? We never take calls and I get emails all the time
one?
That we should.
Let's do it.
Okay.
We have a bunch
I would
of
love
them.
That.
But do you want to take one?
Yeah.
No.
Nope. They're on. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Hi, my name is Andy. I'm from Ontario, California.
Hi.
I'm a long time listener. I love the show. I love what you guys did to it. I just have a question. This is for Kevin because I think he's like super sexy. But who is your favorite character on the show?
On this show? Oh, Nucky. By far.
Oh, really? Yeah, and why?
Yeah, I'm a Buscemi fan, but I like that he... He says, I'm a gentleman until proven otherwise. So he's tough when he needs to be, but he has a heart. So he's the one I root for.
Mm-hmm. And how about the others?
Well, I mean, after Nucky, I would say, geez, you guys have to help me out
on
this here.
I don't know.
I'm always rooting for him and anyone's on his team.
But
the actors are, fantastic. It's just it's an A show, so... I love all the actors, but the character I'm rooting for most is Nucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Jimmy by far, hands down. Today was a tough day for me because he's turning a little bit. He's getting mean.
Bethany has her crush on
Jimmy. Yeah, I do. I have a huge crush on him.
I
saw him at a party one time and I didn't realize it was him, and he let me go into the ladies' room, and as I was like peeing, I was like,
that was him.
Oh my god. And you're right, Andy. Kevin is super sexy, but he has a beautiful, beautiful girlfriend. So
thank you for the compliment, though. You really made my Sunday.
Me, I like. I'm Margaret. I'm Team Margaret.
I like Margaret. Okay. I do too.
Because I love that she has talk about arcs and growth. Mm-hmm. She's really grown, and the more we learn about her, the more we know that she's kind of made a journey, and it's going to be really interesting to see what happens next with her.
Yeah, especially, I like her, and again because I like how. Her and Jimmy and Nucky are, even though they lose their way, they're still trying to be decent.
Mm-hmm.
You see that, and you know, with a guy like Doyle, you don't see that. You know, so the characters.
No, but
you just,
Doyle's a survivor, isn't he?
Oh, he's a total dirtbag.
He's just
he's great.
He suffers like one big injury every like 4 or 5 episodes, but he stays alive.
He does so far. Andy, do you have a favorite character?
Our caller has disconnected.
Okay,
sorry.
Listen,
thanks
we're running
for
out
calling
time.
So much.
We should. Yes, we can't take any more calls because we have to wrap through Nucky.
Two things I want to get to. One is the funeral. Just interesting, not funeral, but the wake. The laying out of his father's body and that confrontation between Eli and Nucky. Eli going, can't you have some compassion? Can't you see that he was something else?
Right.
And Nucky going, are you kidding me? Did we have the same guy as a dad?
Realistic. I wrote down realist versus romantic.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what was interesting, when Eli left, I liked seeing Nucky break down.
Became human.
She became human, right. And became more the romantic.
It just broke my heart. It totally broke my heart watching him go for those shoelaces. But one of my the shots, I mean, you have Nucky in the forefront and then, Eli in the background, yeah. and then of course their father's laying there. But when it switched and it was facing them, there did you notice that oval shaped frame with a man in it
behind,
yeah,
on the wall?
But still mm-hmm. sitting between them? It was
the father, right?
Yeah, it was so gorgeous. It was mm-hmm. just it was
great work,
lovely
great production
and,
we love
and
that.
Cinematic, and mm-hmm. it just was like this is the link that keeps them together and keeps them apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so it was present.
And speaking of the framing of things and the look of mm-hmm. things, that moment when Nucky comes into the Commodore's room to say, "I'm out."
Oh,
and
the bear
right here. Wasn't that incredible?
Right.
And it was
I think that gives more to the point of here's your trophy. That's all you wanted for your ego.
Yep.
Is for me to step down. You've got your trophy. Go get drunk, be stupid, and I'm going to be more pragmatic, like the butcher was saying about this.
Yeah, see, I see it completely different. I see the bear, you know, kind of looming over there, absolutely not menacing at all of Nucky, but supporting him, going, "This is who I am." That was how I saw it.
I would agree with that as well. That's why I think the show's genius. The bear's behind him, strength, but also mm-hmm. at the same time, it's just like
strength and getting out and just making a different choice.
I think that even those four of them, he's still stronger. You know, he's
yes.
that.
Oh,
no,
yes.
No. No, I think that down the road, he's stronger. He's the bear. He's the one they've been hunting, and they shot him.
Yep.
And here's your trophy. You've got it.
Right.
Congrats with your effing trophy.
But you forgot
the rules. You really are shooting someone to have meat.
Right.
You guys got stupid.
Right.
You got emotional.
Yep.
And you shot me. And so again, but it's great that you guys picked that up because it's great direction. It's great work. I'm always saying when you, the best, best pieces are using every element at their disposal. That's sound design, that's production design, that's costume, that's the lines, that's the acting, it's the camera work. And this show does.
Yeah. Cause they clearly have an A team for every single
category.
But
you know, guys, we have A teams. Of 500 channels, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You have people working who think they are, and they don't get to this. Mm-hmm. There's maybe two or three other shows that get to this level.
I know.
So it's great. I do you guys think that there will be any reconciliation between Eli and Nucky?
No, I don't. Do you?
Jeez, I don't know. I thought if they did, it would be at this moment, but no, I don't think so either.
I do. I don't know why. I mean, Eli has nowhere to go.
And we saw Nucky cry and tie the shoes, so maybe.
And
they were able to converse, and they share a history,
he tried to have the brother kill. Well, as he said, as Nucky said, you didn't stop them.
No, he didn't. And he'll probably always hold that against him. Mm-hmm. Always, always, always. Because as Eli says, you're not forgiving. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to forgive.
Right.
You're always holding on to stuff.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
if you know, I think your brother trying to kill you is something to probably hold on to.
All right. Well, again, because he's a good businessman. He doesn't usually get weak. We don't usually see him get weak and make emotional decisions and bring bad people in. Why did he send Peaches to Cliff Lifer?
Thanking him for saving his life.
And that's just all it was. But what was the deeper meaning? You know,
he
sent fruit.
I don't know.
It was just, is it just playing this defanged Nucky? Is it just to play that role? I would think he was genuine as well, saying thank you.
That's my first inclination.
Because that's what feels like who Nucky is. Mm-hmm. He'd be able to say, "No, I thank you very much for having saved my life."
Because he's proper.
He could have sent something nicer. So I think I think it is genuine and sincere. But at the same time, I think there's like a little wink to it. Like,
well,
you're
but
a peach.
You also
Here's
have
a
to,
bunch of peaches.
No, but you have to be careful because he's sending something to a federal agent.
Yeah.
It can't look like a bribe.
No.
It needs to look like a more, you know, genuine European.
I think you hit the nail on the head.
And the last thing, you know, I want just a statement about Chalky. It seems... Again, just Nucky, he could just go out of office and be fine, but he makes sure he says to Chalky, "Listen, I'm out, but here's
some advice.
Mm-hmm. Go on strike. You want get your people justice. Do it this way. You guys will get everything you need without bloodshed. Don't go at them. Don't go at them with guns and pitchforks. Go
hit them where it hurts.
Right. And again, why did he do that? Why I like Nucky, it feels like he was just doing it to kind of throw a bone.
Yeah.
To Chalky because he's decent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he felt bad about everything.
Okay, so we should go to commercial and come back, do quick predictions, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to commercial.
The biggest new media platform on the web just got bigger.
More bandwidth, smoother streaming, lightning fast downloads.
And get technical with me.
AfterBuzz TV is making the jump to hyperspace. Join the fun at your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Look at the size of that thing.
AfterBuzz TV.
Okay, Kevin, any predictions?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I think we're going to see Ireland, and I initially thought he was trying to make an escape to Ireland, but I think you've got me now. I flip-flopped to believe.
I'm glad I could convince you.
Yeah, I think I'm flip-flopped to think there's a master plan that's cooking. You know, I didn't take the time to, because we go up really quickly,
yeah,
to go to the HBO website or to pause to see who's doing what. You know, yeah, it goes by so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else to predict.
Okay, mine's ridiculous, but this is what I really want to happen. It's not going to, but the next time the butcher is in the mansion, Jimmy's just going to be like, here's my $5,000 lamp, just take it.
And bye-bye.
I'm always wondering why people just don't do something like that. Like, here's an armoire. It's worth about 10 grand. Just take it.
I think he's going to make us, don't ask me for money.
Jimmy.
I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
The butcher.
He's going to tell the butcher, like, don't.
You know who
I am? You don't come here making me, disrespecting me, you know,
yeah,
making it look like I'm some kind of welcher, yeah, or, you know.
Yeah, I think he's going to have it out with his mother. There's going to be some tension there, and she's going to have to do something to wrangle control over him once again.
I'm also glad the Commodore is speaking. I'm not ready to let go of the Commodore.
No, I know. Me too.
So I'm glad that he's speaking a little.
I agree.
I'm glad. I hope we don't, because I was like, God,
sure,
I know they're probably just
going
to kill him and get rid of him. I'm sure he's, he's very glad. But I like seeing him back. You know, hopefully we'll keep him going. I think mm-hmm. he's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, the idea of Nucky relinquishing his position as treasurer was making me very nervous tonight. But I thought, okay, but he's Steve Buscemi, for God's sake. They can't kill him, you know. So I'm really looking forward to what's going to happen in Ireland with him, with potentially maybe the IRA. That might be part of it, because that's been sort of laid in. And what's going to happen with Margaret when she goes back and is Peg.
As Peg.
You know, faces her past.
Right.
All right, Jess, get that music in.
So that is it. So we will see
roll
you
us
next
out of here
week for Boardwalk Empire. And we're here just right after the show's on, as fast as we can get here. Usually it's about 7:15 on Sundays. So join us next week. We'll see you then.
And we'll get better with our times.
Yeah, too. We will.
Wait, Tam, where do we get your jewelry?
Oh, gosh, I forget that every time, don't I? Find my website, Tamara Central, rather, TamaraCentral.com. And I'm at Tamara Jewelry on Twitter. You, Kev?
At Undergaro.
And you, Bethany Jaber?
At Bethany with an I-E.
At Bethany Jaber. Yeah. At Bethany. Beth, I can't wait. I know you're going to start nailing some big roles. I'm so excited.
Thank you. Thanks. Let's hope so.
No, you're amazing.
I'm ready.
Worker. You bet you are. All right, so we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.